meet one another for the first time over there when we lived in the same town, right? Yeah, praise the Lord. We'll sit across the table from one another and say, I'm glad you made it. Yeah. Well, you may be seated for just a moment. So I'm not going to say too much ahead of time, but we're really thankful to have our brother Joshua with us here tonight. He has a name that's in the Burmese, in Korean, or I'll let him tell you. It's important what your name is, you know, but it's more important the name that he's given us. Amen. And the name that he's given us is the portion of the word that we're fulfilling in the day. Your name is what you're going to do. Abraham's name was changed from Abram to Abraham. He once worked in a false god shop. His dad made false gods, and Abram worked there, and his name was changed to Abraham, which is father of many nations. And of course, the name describes what it is that you're going to do. It describes your character. So the word tells you who you are. You find your identification in the word, and that's your name. It's not your name like Doug Baker or Eli Ortiz, but it's your name in terms of your characteristics. I don't call you church any longer. I call you bride. Amen. So anyway, we're thankful to have our brother with us tonight. And so I want him to just take his time and share whatever's on his heart. He told me just a few minutes ago that he didn't plan on saying much. And so I'm hoping that he'll just relax a little bit and maybe say a little more. But I want him to just say whatever's on his heart. And he's come a long way. He's come, you know, so 13 and a half hour time difference. So that's halfway around the world, right? So I figure if he's come all that way, we'd like to hear whatever the Lord is doing. So he's the Assembly of God has established a work up in the northern part of the country, and they're faithfully doing their part up in that part of the of their country, and our brother has a desire to serve God's people and to spread this gospel, and so we just want to invite him to come and share what's on his heart here tonight. And so I did put a couple of slides on the projector there. I didn't put it on the projector. I want you to put it on the projector. I put it on the computer. And so maybe you could pull that up, and so our brother can point out to us where it is that, you know, his brother Roshan showed us where India was. And, you know, it's, I just kind of take it for granted that everybody knows where everything's at, but we're all raised different. We all grew up differently. And, you know, some of us in school, they made us memorize, you know, I think in the third grade, we had to memorize the capitals of, we had to memorize all the states and then the capital cities of all the states. And that's been real helpful. Not, but we did, you know, so I know that Wyoming is not in Canada, you know. Right, it's a good thing, but not everybody knows that. So anyway, so I just want to invite our brother. He's was with Brother Mike Price for a few days, and then visited some people that he knew in Tulsa. And then when he leaves here, he's going to North Carolina, and there's a group there that he's going to have some Bible studies with and do some teaching. So we will certainly keep him in our prayers, and with that, we'll just have invite our brother to come up and just share a few things with us, whatever's on his heart. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So today I am very happy and very excited. So, at first, I would like to pray a few minutes. Let's pray. Thank you, O Father, love. Your grace is enough for today. Thanks for today. You are bringing to me your home and time to me. Please bless to all and Holy Spirit touch to their soul. That is your word. What you will be to me, share about my testimony. You be with me and all. Lead me my body and my mouth and my soul. When I share in, pray name in Jesus Christ. Amen. So, in this morning service, I think we are all blessed. Amen. Because their brother, very good preachers. I would like to see you again in Myanmar. Brother. So, at first, I would like to thank to God for this time and my testimony, because I never dreamed that I am stand here and I'm coming to U.S. That is God bless and a favor to me. Because our Myanmar national is come to U.S. very difficultly. Yeah. When we go to the try the visa, they didn't give. Because we need a lot of documents and bank account. Wow. So this time is very blessed to me, because I go to the apply the visa. I go with my pastor. They have, I have 13 persons. I go there and maybe they have a lot of people. We are stands and then they ask many things. And then in front of our pastor is the counselor asked to them, you have any property documents? Yes, I have. How much you have your bank account? They ask everything. They ask. But in my tongue, I don't have anything. I don't have property document also. I have bank account, but in bank account, I have the just 6,000 charge. 6,000 charge is around $5. $5 just. And then they are going to the interview. They didn't get anybody. So it's my turn. Just ask three questions. They ask me, Where do you want to go to U.S.? I'm going to the meeting. I have some conference. I want to join them. One, and then they look my old passport. I am been already to the Philippines, Thailand, Malaysia, and Israel. And then they ask me, you go already Philippines and Israel. Why you go there? I ask the Philippines, I have go to the conference. And Israel is, I go to the business Holy Lands, that is. And are you pastor? He asked me. I say, yes, I am pastor. That's three questions. And you got a U visa. Take it. Wow. A spry. Wow. Everybody asked them many property documents. You have bank account. How much they had. But they didn't ask me property document to me and bank account also. I got it. I'm safely here. And then, you know, that is God doing for me everything. Hallelujah. And I want to thank my brother and his family and a church member in here. God bless you. I am very enjoy and very happy in this day, because the brother, they took me around. He took everywhere, and I was very enjoying. I love all. And I love the church member also, because we are one in Jesus Christ. Amen? Even when we have the different language, you speak English, you speak Indonesia, you speak Myanmar, but when we are in heaven, we can speak only one language. Hallelujah! So, at first, I would like to say in Myanmar, it's the Minglaba. Minglaba means, hi, hello, how are you? You can say it? Minglaba. Amen. And then in Nepali, we say the Jai Mesi. Jai Mesi means, Jai is praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Mesi means Messiah. So praise the name of Messiah. Totally like that. So my name is Joshua. My brother invited already, and he didn't know in Myanmar name because a little bit long. My Myanmar name is Chan Mie Ao. We have the three name, so a little bit long. But when I preach and testimony, I'm not long. I'm not long because they're just short. So I'm from Myanmar. I live in Michina. I live in Michina. It is the north part of Myanmar. I got it married already. I have two children. So I would like to share about is the how I becoming to the Christians. Amen. Christians. So 20 years ago, I and my relations were unbeliever. Everybody are Buddhist. I come from Buddhist. My father is Nepali nations. My mother is Burmese. So I am mixed nations. So when I am in the high school, I have a lot of Christian friends. But one day, they are coming to invite to me. They are home cell prayer. And they are coming to invite to me. So I will go their home and visit their home. And I saw the photo of Jesus. But that photo is not same in U.S. America. But our photo is Jesus is on a cross and he died and bloody. I saw that photo. I have a lot of questions. That photo I saw. They say Jesus is God. So why is on a cross? Why is on a cross? So Jesus is God. Jesus can do everything. Jesus is everything he can do. Why he cannot do on the cross? Why he cannot save himself? Yeah. I have a lot of questions. So confusing in that photo. Yeah. I look in that Jesus photo. Very pretty eyes. Very pretty photo. Your God is not our God. Not our like God. Our God is there, you know, sit down and, you know, to make it that I'm, you know, it's easy to sit. But your God is on the cross. Why? Yeah. So many questions. That about it. So, when I passed my high school, I'm going to attend the officer training army school. Because my purpose is to be coming to a captain in army. I am coming. I want to do. So I go to the entrance exam, but I am not pass. I am not pass. That exam is okay. It's no problem for me. I believe I can do everything. I believe. You know, our Myanmar believe have one word have. That is the traditional word. That is, if you are trying hard, you will can do like a God. That's have. So I trust that. I believe that. I can do everything like a God. I can will everything. I can. Everything. So I believe that. So I go to the chains of my plan and go to the Thailand. And go to the find a job. And then go to there I go to the work hard. I do everything of my will that time. That time. One day, one Christian lady come in my job, and then he talking about Jesus. He tell me, Jesus is can do everything. Jesus is alive. He can give eternal life us. And when you die, you are in heaven. She is coming to sharing the gospel every day when she finished the job. So one day, I asked my dad, and which my poem, I asked my dad, Father, when I die, where I go? Yeah. I said my dad. I tell him, my dad answering, if you are doing good things, you can go good place. If you are bad doing, you will go to the hall. That is answer. From my dad. Surely I must go to the hell because I'm doing. No? The good doing is nothing. That time I drink, I smoke, everything I do that time. So I surely, that one is, when I die, I go to there, you know, go down. Not heaven. Yeah, that is sure, because the everything sure. So day by day, I walk here, and that Christian lady come in to talk about Jesus every day. A few months ago, and I will come in loving with her. And then I said to my auntie and my relations, I want to marry her. I said my auntie and my dad. And then they said to me, they want to marry the same religious, not Christians. Not Christians. They want to same the same religion. But they cannot stop me. I go to live with and marriage. That news here, they are coming to my room. And they beat me. And then they fight me. And then they show the knife. They show the knife. And then what they say? You want to die? If we are coming to change Christian, we are coming to kill you. They come every day in my room and persecutions every day. That time. I'm so sad. I feel it now very, you know, very, just coming, just feeling. So that time, my wife was persecution also that time. But she didn't do anything to them. She just praying in faith. Just praying. She told me every day, Jesus is with us. Don't worry. She told me. My wife told me. She told me. If she every day praying, I am coming to, you know, very angry. Very angry. Why are you praying every day? And I think, I want to change to her. Coming with my size, Buddhist. I hope she will be coming my size, I think, and I'm trying to try, but she just praying. She also praying, and then day by day I go to walk, and then one day, time police coming to coach me in my job, because I don't have the work permit, so they have to send back the border of Myanmar. My wife have work permit. Even she have walked my mate, she want to follow me. I said, my wife, don't follow me. I go alone. You are staying in Thailand, it's okay. I'm telling my wife. My wife telling me, no, my husband. What happening in your life? I am the same in Jesus. She tell me like that. And I told her, it's okay, up to you. You want to follow, you can come. So my wife also follow with me. And then they sent to the border of Myanmar. When I got it in the border, I call my relation for help. Please, can you help me? I call my relations. But they told me, when you are away from the Christian lady, we are hell you. Everything. They don't like. So if you cannot that, we are cut off my relationship. Don't call again. And when you back home, you don't have place in their house. And my property also, they took it. They took it. So that time, I am very difficultly time. Very hardly time. I don't have the money that time. No food. I didn't eat food today. That time. So my wife is just praying. When I see praying, I was so angry and shout her, you didn't do anything. Just praying is Jesus come down and help us. I shout them. And I go to the Buddhist temple. And I pray. But I didn't get any answer. Any answer. So day by day, I remind, I think, and then one day I would like to test that my wife telling that God Jesus. So I go to the farm. There is a large farm. There is nobody. They have the tree, and I go to the under the tree, and bow off my knee. Let my hand is up and cry. I challenge to the Jesus. If you are alive, if you can help us, you say you are greatest, you are mighty. Prove to me. I cannot do nothing now. I cannot do. Where is you? If you are answer for me, I will serve you a kingdom of God at the coming time. I pray and back home. At the evening, one man coming to meet us, and he took his home. He took his home. When I got to his home, I know who he is. He is the pastor. He's the pastor. So he tell me, when he is sleeping last night, Holy Spirit show in his dream. Save a couple. They are my good servants, he told me. And he finds the whole day. And now I found it you, he told me. And he prayed for us. So I stay in his home about 3 months. And we go again to the Thailand, and I walk hard. And what is confusing in Jesus? I go to ask the pastor, and every Sunday I go to the church and the fellowship them. One day, I pray and sleep. I am here, a voice from up. And a very shy lightning is on my face. Hearing my ear 3 times. That is, come in my son. Come in my sons. Come in my sons. And I woke up. Wow. What is from? That is from where? I am afraid. And I look around. There is darkness. Nobody is there. So, at that morning time, I go to the talk about that, the pastor. And the pastor told me, this boy is from God. He is calling to you. You receive him and walk with him. You are never down and lost. You are son of God. Yeah. And then you pray. He pray for me. That time I am so hungry in my soul about God. Yeah. When I got the salvation, I go to the baptism and I go Bible school. Now I am coming to understand why Jesus on the cross. Why Jesus on the cross? Because he is coming to die for us. Yeah. He saved us. He is only savior for us. He saved from the devil by his blood for us. Yes. Amen. Yeah. He want to give bless to us and go to share about gospel. So now I know that. What is the God's purpose to me? I know. Before, my purpose is going to be a captain in the army. Yeah. Now, God is, the purpose to me is go to preach among unbeliever. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. In this time, I am serving in the great church. I am a pastor in my place. Now, we have the 8th place, the fellowship. We have already. So please pray for me and my ministry. Keep in your touch. Now I am constructions a church buildings. That also pray for me. Thank you so much. I am very proud because I am standing here. Amen. I am standing here. That is God, what he doing to me and how I am coming to Christians. That is all about my testimony. Amen. Amen. Then, the last, I would like to encourage the scripture. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. That is, he is calling to me that verse. Go to me and I will answer thee and show the great mighty things which thou knowest not. Amen. Hallelujah. That means when you are trouble, when you are hard time, when you are difficulty time, go to the God. Go to the God. Not human. Not relation. Not friend. Only God is opening the new way. When you calling Him, nothing is impossible in God. Hallelujah. He will show His greatest and mighty things by using in our life. Please don't use your will. You cannot success everything like me before. You use your will, you can go down, down, down. When you are using which Jesus, you are become up. Before I am zero. When I am Jesus, I raise it, I am a hero. Amen. So, 8 months ago, I got a contact from my relations. They told me, where are you now? Come back home. They told me, we will help you everything and we will give you some property to you. They told me. I tell them, thank you so much. God bless you. Because I have already Jesus God already. I don't need anything. I don't want anything. Because he is doing for me better than what we think. Amen. Jesus is the same every day, yesterday, forever in my life. He is the Lord of my life. He is only give granted to me when we die. We must in heaven with Jesus. Amen. Because we are from heaven. We are from heaven. So, I know already my address. Yes? The address. Very important. Very important. So when we die, where we go? What is our general citizenship? Are you America? Are you Myanmar? Are you Indonesia? Are you Chinese? Are you Africa? That's not your relative citizenship. We are God's citizenship. We are from heaven. Amen. So, many people lose their final destination, even they are believer Christians. That is happening in our life, in our country. That's in our, they told in about a Christian, they are believer. When I ask, when you die, where you go? They cannot answer. They cannot answer. So that is what happening in our life, in my country. So the address is very important. Okay? When we die, where we go? So I would like to ask to you, are you got it, your address? And where are you from? You got it? You got it? Got it. So I want to close by one scripture again. Colossians chapter 3, 1:1-2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Amen. Amen. So our affection is on things above. Because we are from heavens. And also our address is from heavens. You are from God. Thank you so much, everybody. God bless all.
Thank you. Amen. You know, there's probably not too many of us, if any of us, that we're told that, you know, if you convert to Christianity, your life is in danger. Right? We may have faced a little persecution from family members. particularly if you take the full word of God. But there's great promise that comes with that. And you know, as hard as that is for us, it actually brings God on the scene. It actually proves God in our lives. And so it goes from just being a religion or some morals or something that we associate with to reality. But it's not easy, as you can see. So most of the country is Buddhist, and there's also a Muslim faith, the Muslim faith also in the country, and they take it very seriously when you convert. It's as he said earlier, he was told that if you convert, we're going to cut you off, and you know, so the family cut him off, and he wasn't able to earn a living, and was short of food, things like that. And then as he was finishing up, he pointed out how they said, you know, hey, we'll take you back, right? But it was with a catch. They still wanted him to renounce Christianity, but at that point it was too late. Amen. Amen. I'm so glad that we serve a living God here tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I just want to share a couple of thoughts here with you, just kind of along these lines. I want to read out of Matthew, the 24th chapter. Starting at verse 1, so I'll give our translator just a moment to, since I didn't share these scriptures with him ahead of time. Matthew chapter 24, and we'll read verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately. You can imagine they're coming to him one on one, saying, tell us. And they ask him three questions. Now, you know, when we were in the denominations, we thought this was just one question. But it's three very separate and distinct questions. Tell us, when shall these things be? When shall it be that there's not one stone put upon another when the temple is torn down? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So three different questions, and you know, we could spend a few services going through his answer, because he answers, he gives answer to those three specific questions. But what I want to focus on in particular is verse 14. So if we go down to verse 14, Jesus said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now what I want us to notice here is that he said this gospel, not a social gospel, not an intellectual gospel, not a gospel of morals, not man's ideas, but the gospel is good news. And it's Paul said, I could have come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom. He said, I could have done that. And he could have. He was a master teacher. and he continued to be a master teacher, but he wasn't trying to bring people in with just enticing words. He said, I could have come to you that way, but I didn't. He said, I came to you in the power and the demonstration of the gospel. You know, the word is living. It's alive. And so somebody has to preach it. Somebody has to go out when a minister is ministering that word, there's life that goes with that word. You're actually sending life, or the Lord is, as he anoints that word and it strikes the heart. If it's just intellectual, you just leave and, you know, wasn't that a good talk? And then a week later, you can't even remember what it was that you listened to. But it's living word, so there has to be, that's why sending out tracts won't work. That will not fulfill the Great Commission. That's not this gospel. Jesus wasn't handing out tracts. Jesus was going around preaching the word. And his disciples were commissioned also to preach the word. Lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Cast out demons in my name. The preaching of the word is casting out of spirits. So God set this up. He designed it so that man is his agent. And he sent gifts unto men to fulfill this great commission to the preaching of the gospel. So he said that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness on all the nations. Now, it doesn't mean that all the nations are going to receive it, but they will receive a witness. And they will give an answer for the witness, for what it was that they witnessed. And, of course, all of his children will respond, and all of his children will come, but somebody has to preach. He says, and then shall the end come. So, you know, we're not waiting for God to say, okay, heaven's full, you know, we don't have any more room, or just some random time for the coming of the Lord. What we're waiting for is for his last child to hear the word, the true gospel, not just some kind of a morals, but the true gospel, the person of Christ being preached and receiving that life and being changed, as our brother testified here tonight, being changed and baptized into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I love that thought. I know where my address is. That's good. Praise the Lord. You know, we're so fixated with our address here on earth, but we have an address, a destination. Amen. So I also would like to refer for a moment to Romans chapter 10, and we'll read from verse 13, Romans chapter 10. And verse 13, I'm sorry, Brother Manuel, but I trust that you are flexible here tonight. Is anybody listening in tonight? Okay, all right, good. Just checking. It's important to us that you hear it as well. Yeah. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. Paul says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are you going to call upon his name if you never heard of him? And it says, call upon the name of the Lord. Well, what's his name? Somebody has to tell you. Right? And how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Well, you can't believe unless somebody tells you about him. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? So we have to hear it. And how shall they hear without a tape player? How shall they hear without a tract? How shall they hear without a preacher? God set it up this way. It's not up to, we're not changing his program. We don't want to change his program. His first thought is his best thought. His first thought is the right thought. This is how it started. This is how it's going to end. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed. They have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, "Lord, who hath believed our report?" So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's by the spoken word of God. You hear it, and that faith strikes your soul, and something in you says, "Believe that." Something in you says, wow, that makes more sense than anything I ever heard. Yeah. Something in you just witnesses to it. Something says, you know what, I'm not afraid to believe this. That's the truth. Amen. So somebody has to be sent. Somebody has to go. So I'd also like to just read a couple of statements from the message here tonight, if you don't mind. This is from God's Provided Way, May 13th, 1953. Brother Bram says, what I do with money, the reason I don't own a big tent or have a place like that, I spend every penny of money. God, who is my solemn judge, knows that everything that I don't have to live on, I put it in foreign missions. And I go over to the heathen lands to preach the gospel to the heathens. This is a heathen land now. To bring them the type of ministry that you see right here. So they obviously had to see the same type of a ministry. Jesus Christ the same today as he was yesterday. And when that day comes, I want to be counted as a steward that did just exactly what God would have me to do. So we do this out of by following his leadership. You know, we may have, as different ones, we all have opinions, and we may all, you know, especially with family members, it's not uncommon. Don't look at me with surprise in your eyes. But it's not uncommon for us as family members to say, well, I think my brother ought to be doing this, or I think my sister ought to be doing that, and what's he doing that for, or what's she doing this for, right? And we seem to be experts at what other people's lives are, right? And then we turn in prayer requests for our lives. But we've got perfect vision for other people's lives, right? We all have to be led of the Spirit. And if you're called of God to preach the gospel, he's the only one that can tell you. He's the only one that can lead. And so you go where he leads, and it may not even make sense to the one that he's sending at times, right? But it doesn't have to. It's his work, and he uses his gifts to accomplish that. But it takes more than just one being sent. We understand that, right? And I'm going to get into that here in just a moment. He says, to bring them the same type of ministry that you see right here. And when that day comes, I want to be counted a steward that did just exactly what God would have me to do. And if I know I take it myself and go over there and do, well, I won't receive the reward. It'll be you people that sent me. You're the one that receives the reward. Now, I've heard these comments about, well, don't mix offices and whatever. Well, he started out as a pastor. He said, I never did make a very good pastor. He was told to do the work of an evangelist. He was a prophet. And then he went out on the field and preached on the foreign mission field, right? Doing missionary work, right? And yet he's an evangelist. He says, I won't receive the reward. It'll be you people that sent me, because I couldn't go without you sending me. That's right, without you making a way. God put on your heart, and I will use every bit of it, the best of my knowledge, for the outgoing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's our motive and our objective. That's all that we're trying to accomplish, is for the same Jesus to be introduced in other lands. The same one that we worship, not a different one. Paul said that there are many Jesuses that are being preached, but there's only one true Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the one that we want to be preached out on the field. He says, I pray on that day when the crowns are given out to the saints that I will be standing back when I see the Jonesboro group come up there, He says, I will be awfully noisy. I will be awfully noisy, I'm afraid, when I see him. I think of what I'll be when the Last Supper is set there in glory, and we've all overcome, and we've set across the table from one another. I will look across the table and see old battle-scarred saints sitting there, tears of joy running down their cheeks. We'll just have to reach across the table and take one another by the hand. But think about it. You know, we don't want to be there on the other side and someone say, well, what did you do for the kingdom? Well, I just made it. I just, you know, I'm just glad to be here. No, we all have a part in this. It's a body. And we have a part in the body for our day. I will say, oh, brother, I'm so glad to see you. Just think of that long supper table. Then the king will come out in his beautiful garments and wipe all the tears from our eyes, saying, don't cry no more. We're all here now. It's all over. Last prayer meeting is over now. No more fasting. No more praying. We're all home. Now enter into the joys of the Lord. That's what I want to hear. That's what I'm working hard day and night, all the time that I can do. Amen. I'd like to read another one, if you don't mind, here for just a moment. This is from End Time Evangelism, which was actually preached at Roy Carpenter's church in Mesa on June 3rd of 1962. He says, and that's the reason I chose this subject. This subject is End Time Evangelism. That's the reason I chose this subject for the tabernacle on End Time Evangelism. When we are doing mission work or foreign mission with the Word of God, we know we are always in the will of God. There's not a lot of things that we can say that about. There's not a lot of things that we can say, oh, I know I'm always in the will of God. But if you're doing mission work, you're always in the will of God. Why? Because this great commission has to be fulfilled. And it couldn't be fulfilled until the word was restored. Because Jesus' first commission to his church was go out and preach the gospel. This last commission was to preach the gospel. The first time he ever ordained any persons to preach the word and go throughout the country, he said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. As freely as you have received, freely give. St. Matthew, the 10th chapter, sending out the 70, 2 by 2. That was the first commission that he gave to his church. Now, the last commission he gave to his church, just before he was received up into glory, he said, go ye into all the world. He had just risen from the dead. And many of them was sitting together, and he upbraided them for the hardness of their hearts, because of their unbelief, that they believed not them that had seen him after he was risen. See, they had a testimony that they had seen the Lord, and the others didn't believe it. And he upbraided them because of the hardness of their heart. They didn't believe these people who had seen that he was not dead, but he is alive. He said it's the same thing today. When you see his work, now we have already seen and are witnessing, listen to this now, we have already seen and are now witnessing and are witnessing the appearing of the Lord. Now remember, appearing and coming is two different words. To appear and then to come. Now is the appearing. He's already appeared in these last days right here with us in the last few years. It's a word coming. He's coming in the fullness of his word. Performing, doing what he said he would do. Now it's a sign of his coming. He's appearing in the church, in his church, in the form of the Holy Spirit, showing that it's him, because people cannot do these things that you see the Holy Spirit doing. So that's the appearing of the Lord. Now remember, it spoke both places, appearing and coming. Now he upbraided them because of the hardness of their heart, because they didn't believe those that had seen it. I believe he'll do the same thing today. They didn't believe the testimony of those people, and he upbraided them for it. And then he commissioned them to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, and he would be with them to the consummation, to the end of the world. These signs shall follow them that believe. Now today, we try to take the written word. I'll just keep you another minute. We try to take the written word that we have in letter form, creed form, and so forth, to all the world. And there's been missionaries gone everywhere. But what do we find when we get there? a native that can't read his name holding a tract in his hand? He knows no more about it than he does his right hand from his left hand. But when Jesus said, go and preach the gospel, he never said, teach the word. He said, preach the gospel. And the gospel came not in word only, but through the manifestation of the word, God performing what he said he would do. For the only way that it could be done was to make his promise come to pass. Some one guy can read that, that like in William Jennings Bryant, when he was debating with Darrell on the ethics of Darwin, he could only say what Darwin had said, and William Jennings Bryant could only say what the Bible had said. And he says that was the debate. But in this case, God comes among the people. God comes among the people and proves that his word is made manifest. And the only way you can do that is not by a tract, but by the Holy Spirit working through you. Your life becomes his life because he's in you. You're taking him with you and you're taking him to the nations. The heathens, when they worship their idol, they prostrate themselves before the idol and they believe that the idol talked back to them, that God, their God, turned and come into this idol and spoke back through them. Now, that's just contrary. Turned around from what God is. God doesn't deal with idols. You are his instrument. I want you to say that tonight. I am his instrument. You prostrate yourself before God, and he comes in you and speaks out to the people. That's the difference. He's the living God for a living person, not a dead God to a dead idol. He's a living God to a living being, and you become his witnesses, what he said here. He says, now notice, many people said that was just for the apostles. He said here, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and these signs shall follow them that believe. You know, there was a period of time when people were being real critical. And if you were looking for a living God in the church, they'd say, well, you know, you're seeking after signs and we're beyond that. You know, we've got the word now and, you know, we're just going to believe the word. That's a good Baptist testimony, by the way, because the Baptists have no evidence of anything, right? They just believe and they think they're going to get some gold stars for it, you know, extra credit. Just believe. But God proves his word. He brings it to pass. He's not expecting you to just have a mental conception of something and nod your head and shake your hand and say, oh yeah, that sounds good. I agree. But it's life. It's the real thing. So when you start looking for the living God, the next thing that comes along is that you'll be accused of being a sign seeker. But the answer to that is, I've never sought after a sign in my life. But if his life is in you, the signs will follow him, right? Because he's doing the work. So if he's in you, these signs will follow him. It'll follow them that believe. But those that believe will have them with them, even in them. Amen? And he will perform, he'll do what he said he would do. How many knows that's true? How many can say, I'm a witness? God has proven that to me over and over and over and over. Amen. Now, we are a missions-oriented church, and so, I just want to encourage you once again to, you know, we all have a part in this. We can't all go. We're not all supposed to go. But if we can't go, we can send somebody. If we can't send somebody, we can pray. You say, well, all I can do is pray. That's huge. Because it's your prayer that determines the success of what's done out on the field. Amen. Amen. And, you know, the other part about this is, you know, we have been blessed with a lot in this nation. Now, maybe in other countries they may have a different idea. You know, they may think that you come to America and you just pull money off of the tree, you know. We work for it just like anybody else, and we have to pay bills just like anybody else, and the cost of living is higher here than it is in other places. But if we just have a little bit of money left over, the value of that money is greater than it is in other countries. And it goes farther. So if we can take that little bit of extra that we have after our bills are paid, and, you know, after we paid our tithes and whatever, and put it into the work of the Lord, it goes further than, you know, in Myanmar, $30 a month is about the average of what somebody earns. So let's say that you gave half of what you earned and put it in missions. Well, that's $15 a month. You know, it's not going to go, it's not going to go as far as it would from here. So not only are we blessed materially, but we've been given the message in our language. And I'm especially without excuse because my relatives are hillbillies. You know, my mom was born about 50 miles north of where Brother Branham was born, and was raised. My grandparents owned a tobacco plantation, and I guess there was some kind of depression or whatever. They ended up losing what they had and moved to Indiana. But the way my family speaks, I don't have any trouble. I don't have any trouble with Kentucky accent or whatever. I will tell you that the first time I took my wife to meet relatives back in Indiana, I had to translate for her. I should have told her to bring her passport. It wasn't Indiana, it was Indianana or something like that. But anyway, to those that much has been given, much will be required. Right? So we've been given much. And I'm not just, not just talking about materially wise, you know. I know that there are many of us that struggle to go from paycheck to paycheck at times, and you don't know where the money for insurance is going to come from or whatever. But we've been blessed in so many other ways, and I just believe that with all my heart that it's our part to finish the Great Commission. So I'll close with that here tonight. I'm just going to touch on it here for a moment from the revelation of Jesus Christ in chapter 10, starting at verse 1. Revelation chapter 10 and verse 1. Of course, we know that the book of Revelation is a book of symbols, and so God has to reveal what these symbols are, and he has, as he said he would in this last day. Revelation chapter 10 and verse 1. And I saw, so let me back up here for just a moment, and I don't want to take much time, but if you read Revelation chapter 9, in Revelation chapter 9, you hear about Apollyon, you hear about the lid, the keys to hell being put in, and the lid being lifted off of hell, and hell spilling into this dimension. That's Satan, and we know that demonic powers have been released. You know, since the Jews, they were released around the time of the world wars, and there were 200,000 demons bound by the river Euphrates, as it mentions there in chapter 9, that were released. 200,000, that's 200 million. That's not counting all the demons that were already here. These are the same devils that were in the time of Nebuchadnezzar and Alexander the Great, and under those great moves and armies that conquered the world over and over. It's demonic power that does that. So they were released, and of course we know that their first objective, they pursued after the Jews, and they ended up driving the Jews into their homeland, back into Israel. So they're really only tools in God's hands. He's not making them do it, but them driving the Jews back into the homeland is a good thing. It was a persecution, but it got them back into their homeland, and that's where God can deal with them and bless them. But once that was accomplished, those same demons are coming after the bride of Jesus Christ to drive her into her homeland, which is the opening of the word, the fullness of the word, to drive you into taking possession of what belongs to you, right? So that's chapter 9, speaking about this mighty angel that had fallen, that had been kicked out of heaven, that had fallen down here to the earth. Then chapter 10 starts out, and I saw another mighty angel, right? So we have Lucifer and we have Jesus. I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And of course, we know a rainbow speaks of a covenant. And his face was, as it were, the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. The book was closed in chapter 4 and 5, but now it's open. And he set his right foot upon the sea, his left foot upon the earth, cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that time should be no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Now, of course, what he's declared to his servants, the prophets, is the word of God. That the word would be restored, the mysteries behind these seven thunders, the mysteries, the things that have been lost over the ages. This gospel couldn't be preached until this gospel was restored. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. He's the angel of his own covenant. It's the Lord Jesus. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said, take it and eat it. And of course, we know John represents the bride, the believer. Take it, eat it up. It'll make thy belly bitter. It'll start a war in your members, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. Oh, this is so good. So wonderful. But it'll cause a persecution. It'll cause a separation. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. It's Christ revealing his word to you. And I ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. As soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. This is the fulfillment of the Great Commission. Matthew 28. And it couldn't be fulfilled until the book came open and somebody ate it. And then to prophesy again, it means to say the same thing that's already been said. It's not your word, it's his word. And you're preaching it, you're not preaching it, you're not just repeating it, you're not just some dumb parrot that's just, you know. I remember there was a guy that sang a song at special meetings. He actually did it for a few years. I don't know why they kept letting him do it, but he'd get up there and he'd sing this song, and some of the words were, just call me Polly, you know, like Polly want a cracker. You know, and he thought it sounded so good because, just call me Polly, you know, I'm just going to say what's already been said. What, a dumb bird can do that. A parrot can do that. Right? And it won't do him any good. What you need to speak is living word. That means you're saying something that's been revealed to you. You're not just repeating, right? A machine can do that. But it's living word. You're saying it with understanding. You're saying it with life. So this can't be fulfilled and couldn't be fulfilled until the word was restored. So that the very same gospel that was preached by the Lord Jesus 2,000 years ago, that the early church started out with, that very same gospel has to be restored. Then it has to be preached. And then shall the end come. Amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Let's stand tonight. So we are going to continue to stay in touch with our brother. And as the Lord leads, we'll make other trips or send others to make trips. I know Brother Andy's excited about return ministry. I mean, going back to Myanmar. That's the right kind of return ministry. As are others, and you know, Brother Jeremy Schreiner wants to go back again as well, and so. But what our motive is, what our goal is to bring a living word to the other nations. It's not our job to convert the nation. It's not our job to become overlords. It's not even scriptural. Or to set up a headquarters or get them to look to a headquarters. It's our job to, you know, you light a candle with another candle. You take fire and you light another candle with a candle that's already lit. And then you take your candle back and then that candle lights other candles. I believe that God has men that he has placed in Myanmar. He knew before the foundation of the world where his seed would be in that land. So he sent gifts into that land. He's raising up vessels in that land, and it's their job to take it to the people in their land. Right? But somebody has to bring it. And that's our burden. I also want to just mention this real quick. Brother Eli and I will be traveling to those special meetings next Sunday. We'll still be here on Wednesday, or I will anyway. We'll be gone on so Thursday through Sunday. They're having meetings, but these particular meetings are more significant than normal because we're putting a bow around this whole translation of the message in Spanish, which you've had a part in. Brother Eli has done most of the work and headed up so well, and so we want to recognize that, there's that, plus it's special meetings and what have you. So we just ask that you keep us in prayer as we travel. I know that there's a lot of other people that are traveling to different places, but if you could remember us, we would appreciate it, and certainly be praying for you here back at home. So let's bow our heads here for just a moment. Father, we're so grateful to hear another testimony tonight, Lord, on this side. Lord, we know that when we get over to the other side, we would use words like we'll have thousands and millions of years, but really we'll have eternity because time will cease to exist after the millennium, and we'll just have every opportunity to share with one another. But Lord, we treasure on this side, coming in contact with those of like precious faith, coming in contact with those where the fire's been lit, and coming in contact with those that have met you and are trusting in you and are trying to take you, Lord, to the nations. And so Lord, we just ask that you continue to guide our brother's footsteps and prosper his way, Lord, as he endeavors to labor in you said that the fields are, the harvest is white, the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. And you told us, you said a strange thing, Lord. You said, pray ye to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers in the field to bring forth the harvest. So you're saying, I'm going to bring forth this harvest, but you're telling us to pray to you to bring forth the harvest by sending others to go out into the field. So, Lord, we understand that we're partners with you in this. We understand that you need flesh to work through. And so, Lord, you tell us to ask for these things. You even taught us when the disciples said, teach us how to pray. And you said, pray in this wise, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, Lord, our part is to speak things out in this dimension. And that allows your word to take on flesh. That allows your kingdom to be furthered. It's your will that we want to see done. But Lord, you told us to speak these things out. We know that, Lord, that you have healing for us. You have deliverance. You have everything that we have need of. But you told us to ask that it would be given to us. And we think, well, why would we need to ask? Well, because you set it up that way, Lord. You set it up so that something has to take place in this dimension to bring that other dimension into this dimension. And you're waiting to act upon our prayers and our requests, just as Satan is waiting to act upon unbelief and doubt and negativity. Lord, we know that both sides are standing. Angels on both sides are standing, waiting to see which way our conversation goes. And Lord, to hear what it is that we have, that we speak out. And Lord, when we speak the things according to your word, it enables your angels and the kingdom of heaven to line up and to bring those things from that dimension into this dimension. Lord, so we pray for our brother. We pray for his family back home. We thank you for his precious wife, Lord. That's when you call a man, you call his wife also. And so we thank you for that. And we just pray that you be with them and their family, Lord, as they endeavor to put you first and put your kingdom first and to bring Jesus Christ, the living God, to their nation. Grant it tonight, Lord. Just continue to be with our brother in his travels. And then, Lord, as we meet together to seek your will and all the work that is being done and all the work that needs to be done, Lord, we want to be sure that we're operating according to your leadership and according to your will. Man may not understand it, but Lord, we've been around long enough to know that, Lord, if it's your will, it'll be done. Lord, so we aren't presuming, we aren't just trying something out to see what would happen, but we want to be led by your Spirit in all that we do. So, Lord, we just pray for your continual leadership, Lord, to guide us into what direction to go, to see that this great commission is fulfilled. Bless each and every one here tonight, Lord. And, Father, I just thank you so much for the generosity of this local body, Lord, for the giving hearts that each and every one has, Lord. And not, we're not just talking about monetary or physical things, Lord, but there are so many things that are done, even those things, there's so many things that are being done that nobody knows about, but you know about it, Lord, and it's essential for your kingdom. Lord, we know that prayer changes things. We know, Lord, that that everything that we do, everything that we surrender, Lord, it allows you to accomplish things for your kingdom. So I just pray that your continual blessings would be upon each and every one, Lord, as we endeavor to follow your leading, Lord, as you and do our part, whatever it might be. And Lord, every part is important. It doesn't matter how small or how great. Lord, whatever means that is at our disposal, it's what you've given us, Lord. So if we have a little and we give a little, it's just as important as if we have a lot, we give a lot. It just doesn't matter. We just want to be obedient, Lord. So I pray that your blessings would continue to be with each and every one. Lord, we thank you tonight now. We know that, as the book of Revelation declares, we overcome by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. So we thank you for our brother's testimony. Lord, we just love you now and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes to say yes. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes.